Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Childhood vaccines protect children from a variety of potentially fatal diseases, but recently and for some years back, there's been so much media attention on these vaccines and whether or not they contribute to the increased in prevalence for autism spectrum disorders. And we're here to sort those facts out for you today. My guest is Dr. Susan Hyman. She's the Division Chief of Neurodevelopmental and Behavioral Pediatrics at the Golisano Children's Hospital at the University of Rochester. So, Dr. Hyman, let's start with some of this media controversy about vaccines and thimerosal and autism and this increased prevalence that we've seen. We're just better at diagnosing it now, right? I mean, these vaccines have saved the lives of millions of children in the last 40 years.
That's correct, and they will continue to save lives because the vaccine-preventable diseases are still out there. You bring up an important point, Melanie, which is that what we have is a situation of increasing identification of autism. There may be increased prevalence over time, and that's what the CDC studies are looking at. But we certainly have increased identification. The definitions have changed, and the range of individuals, both high and low, in terms of cognitive abilities, have become more inclusive. So that while the prevalence is likely to have increased over the years, so has our identification.
Now, I mean, I feel very passionately, Dr. Hyman, about this and try not to get into arguments with people about the importance of vaccines. But as a parent, I get upset with some of the parents who choose not to or choose these alternative schedules because I think it puts my child more at risk for some of these maybe meningitis, things that they're not getting vaccinated for. So right now, the latest research is looking into genetics of autism. So speak about that latest research and how we can maybe put this whole vaccine controversy off to the side once and for all.
Before commenting on genetics, I would like to bring up a recent study on vaccines that just came out that points out that the vaccines we're using today are far less of an immune load than vaccines in the past. The vaccines we have today are much cleaner, and a very recent study demonstrated that children with autism, with and without regression, had no different immune exposures than the children who did not have autism in three large HMOs, health maintenance organizations. That this is additional evidence that vaccines are not related to autism in terms of etiology or cause, and that supports other population studies. So that we really don't have good scientific evidence that vaccines are associated with autism, but evidence and feelings are two different things. So it's very important that pediatricians and families have a good relationship and can talk about the feelings that families may have, which differs from the evidence that we have as scientists.
So now speak about the genetics and the research.
Yes, this is an extraordinarily exciting area in autism. We know from twin studies that were very old, that identical twins were almost 100% of them were to have autism if one was to have, the other would have. And from that set of studies, it became evident that there were multiple genes that seemed to be related to brain development that is associated with autism in terms of the connections that are made in the brain early in gestation, early in fetal brain life. Some of these genes continue to act throughout life, so are potential targets for intervention. And the current genetic research suggests that there are probably gene-environment interactions, and the environment would be things that would cause genes to turn on and off. So these are predisposition genes.
For example, because I was going to ask you next about environmental factors.
Over the past year, there have been a number of studies looking at things in the environment that range everything from maternal obesity to air pollution. And all of these things need to be examined biologically, because epidemiologic studies are associational and cause us to look and say, what are the real factors that are involved? Is it prenatal exposure to inflammation in the brain? Are these environmental exposures that cause genes to act differently? So at this point, there are very few what I would call true facts related to the environment, but lots of hypotheses and areas to pursue. And the true facts are things like maternal exposure to medicines like Depakote or valproic acid, medicines like thalidomide that a mother might be exposed to prenatally that would affect brain development. And then these other areas in the environment are very important to pursue, but require further study so that we can say that they're true facts.
Yeah, so that you're ruling some things out. Now, what about the age of one or more of the parents?
Again, that's an epidemiologic association. And what you might expect would be that over time, the genetics of the sperm and the egg change, that the efficiency of the genetic material deteriorates, so that it is not unexpected that there are disorders like autism which may be more prevalent if a parent is older at the time of conception, at the time that they of their child's conception, at the time that the genetic material is used to form the fetus. So that these are things that environmental effects or genetic effects, again, that require additional study, but certainly have initial supporting evidence.
And where do you see, Dr. Hyman, the genetic studies going for the future of autism and the real investigation into the causes so that we can, you know, get better and more effective treatments?
Well, the important thing about the genetic studies isn't entirely the cause, but it's the treatment. That genes do more than make your eyes blue and make you short or tall. Genes are continuing to act throughout your lifespan. So some very exciting work in the Fragile X literature may be relevant to autism in terms of genes that continue to make chemicals in the brain that may be sites for action that can be altered by medication for true change. So that the exciting things in genetics relate to treatment, not necessarily to diagnosis.
So we've got about a minute and a half left here, Dr. Hyman. Kind of bring this all around for us with this latest research into genetics and this controversy. Kind of clear that up once and for all for parents. Give them your best message about autism and kind of, as you say, putting aside the causes and concentrating more on the treatment.
When I counsel families, I talk about the biologic causes and the biologic diagnoses and then the functional treatments. Yes, we want to know why a child has autism. We want to offer families genetic testing. We want to make certain we understand the biomedical reasons for autism. But at the same time, we don't want to lose sight of what we know needs to be done to treat the symptoms, so that in the search for biologic causes, we need to remember that intervention and the hard work of rolling up your sleeves and teaching language and teaching developmental skills can't be ignored at the same time.
And that the research about vaccines and their cause or link to autism?
At this point, we do not have a link between vaccines and autism, and what we have to work toward is protecting children from vaccine-preventable illness, just as we would protect them from any other infectious disease.
So there it is, the facts versus the fiction. There is no scientific evidence that vaccines in any way contribute to autism and the spectrum of disorders under that umbrella. The vaccines are cleaner now than they've ever been, safer now. We are protecting our children when you make sure that they're vaccinated, and we're looking at the treatments and genetics and the therapies for autism. So it's about getting the best treatment. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.